If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Memorial Day door buster deals are here at Lowe's. Right now, rewards members save $80 on the Master Forge 4-burner gas grill. Now just $149. Plus, rewards members save $900 on the Lowe's exclusive Hisense French door refrigerator. Now only $9.99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Programs subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss sports podcast with Ben Garrett and Billy and Body of the Ole Miss Spirit.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to a special edition of Talk of Champions. I am Billy Embody. With me is Ben Garrett in his Riverland Roofing studio. Ben, what's going on?
Billy, friend, good to see you. Happy Tuesday. I am riding high after going to a piano recital for my oldest daughter, Gracie, last night, and she crushed it.
Love it.
Absolutely crushed it. My youngest daughter, Riley, so you can see them back over here. I kind of got them blocked out right now, but I don't mean to. Riley is now doing her double back handspring at gymnastics. Friend, things are happening over here at the Ben Garrett House in New Albany, Mississippi. Thank you, friends, for joining us here on Talk of Champions. He's Billy Embody. I'm Ben Garrett, and we want you with us every day at the Ole Miss Spirit. OleMissSpirit.com and Fleet of On Three. Our thanks, as always, to RiverlandRoofing.com. And, Bill, I'll just say as we get started here, the NBA is not getting past those rigged allegations. I'm just going to say it, get it out of the way, because we've got Ole Miss stuff to cover. But, yeah, that's how my Tuesday morning is going. Are you good, my friend?
Well, it's pretty cool in Dallas. I mean, after royally screwing over the franchise earlier this year, now Nico Harrison will get the chance to maybe screw them over again, I guess.
You can't convince me. Like, I love Oxford. My buddy Love Oxford has been with us at the Ole Miss Spirit on our board forever, and he talked about the trade last night on the Ole Miss Spirit, because we talk about anything and all things Ole Miss all the time. But, you know, obviously some big stuff sneaks in there, including this from Love Oxford. And he was like, is this kind of like Patrick Ewing going to the Knicks in the 80s? Yeah, it's like that. It's like LeBron to the Cavs. It's like Derrick Rose to the Bulls.
It's like Shaq to Orlando, right?
Shaq to Orlando. Come on.
Not a major market.
But come on, man.
I know.
LeBron called this back when he did the Pat McAfee show. And he's like, hey, man, I understood the assignment. When I'm the number one pick, the Cavs get the number one pick. Come on. You know, like, they're not beating the allegations. I hope that at some point the Grizzlies can maybe get the top overall pick. You know, AD leaves the Pelicans, and, of course, Zion goes to the Pelicans. There's so much like this. The NBA is not what we're here to talk about, but, man, when that, something like that happens, everyone stops, and we have to – like, there are two conspiracies I truly believe in, Billy. Two of them, only two.
All right, I want to hear this.
Number one. The NBA draft lottery is rigged. Okay. It's rigged. It's more scripted than WWE. That's new. The second one that I will fight to the death, Stevie Wonder is not blind. Now, I'm not saying he can't see. His sight is obstructed. I'm simply saying I've seen that man catch falling women. I've seen him say, tell Carmelo Anthony, hey, Carmelo, I love watching you play. Hold up. Right?
Hold up now.
Hold up. I'm just saying, if you go deep down the rabbit hole online about the NBA being rigged and Stevie Wonder not being completely blind or being blind, you will join me. because on this Tuesday, if I know two things to be true, one or three things, God is sovereign. The NBA is rigged like WWE scripts. And number three, Stevie Wonder ain't blind. Happy Tuesday.
You learn something new every day.
Every day.
And there it is, right at 9 a.m. I've got my one thing for now.
You're welcome.
Okay, so this is going to be a fun little episode, or at least I think it's going to be fun, because I'm surprising you with questions. And this is maybe a little peak off season to do something like this, I guess, now that we're in May. I mean, official visits are taking a break until June. Portal is almost over. Haven't seen much movement lately on either basketball or football. We'll talk about some of that, though. And, of course, spring football is already done. So, and all these coaches and administrators are gearing up for their annual trip to SEC spring meetings in Destin. So we're waiting on all of that. Ben, I want to lead off with probably the baseball side of things. And I want to get your take on the state of the program. And I'm going to kind of wind you up and let you go on this, because I wanted, as a relatively new person still on the Ole Miss beat, I wanted to get your take on the overall kind of like 50,000 foot view of the program. Not, all right, well, the Rebels, you know, lost their series to State. They've got to do this. They've got to do that. Your overall state of the program, and maybe a couple of tidbits on how they get, like, re-elevate the program moving forward, because there is that kind of, I think, apathy in the fan base at the same time.
It's a very loaded question. It's something I've been asked about and thinking about for days, if not weeks, if not years, considering the conversation and debate around Mike Bianco for so long. Here's the bottom line. He's got 1 year left on his contract. They're going to the postseason after back-to-back losing seasons. He's not going anywhere. I'd be shocked if he is. However, because this is progress. You're taking steps, right? Now, I'm with everybody else, right? You get hot in 2022, win the national championship. There's a last team named to the NCAA tournament. John Cohen, this is true. John Cohen did Mike Bianco a favor. And the quote he gave Mike Bianco once he put Ole Miss into the NCAA tournament is, "Don't F it up." And sure enough, Ole Miss didn't F it up at all. Ole Miss won 10 of 11 games and won a national championship. Tim Elko, the captain of that team, is now in Major League Baseball. His first hit on Sunday, a three-run shot, of course it was, for our man Tim Elko. And I put this on the message board, the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of On3. I think I put it on Twitter too. But this is the first year where four Ole Miss Rebels were promoted in the same season to the major leagues. Doug Nikhazy, Gunnar Hoagland, Tim Elko, and Ryan Rollison, who's coming out of the bullpen for the miserable Colorado Rockies and their 7-33 record. But the talent and what Mike Bianco has built over 25 years is going to get him a jersey retirement. It's going to get him plaudits and recognition for the rest of his life. But it is frustrating right now for Ole Miss fans. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can see it. But I said before the year with this team, if we just are looking at this team through the lens of a single season, it's been a successful season because of what Ole Miss is coming off of course. But also, I said before the year, I got them as a two seed somewhere, playing in the postseason somewhere. And that's exactly where they're headed. They're a two seed somewhere. Obviously, with the way they started and climbing up to as high as number six, you're hoping for more. And Ole Miss still has not hosted a super regional since 2009. And this is one of the premier programs in all of college baseball, you know, up there with LSU and State and Tennessee. I mean, all these programs that really invest and care about college baseball, there aren't that many of them. Ole Miss is one of them, and has really dedicated tremendous resources and money to making Ole Miss baseball a year-to-year contender, and they've not gotten that since their national championship. And even their national championship year, the regular season was abysmal. They started out, I think, number one in the country and then fell apart. They still won a national championship. You don't rob them of that. But it helps to contextualize the last handful of years that something is off, that something is not working. Is it roster construction? Is this? Is it that? Is it stubbornness as far as managerial decisions? There's some of that as well. I mean, Mason Morris pitching in a six-run lead against State on Friday night makes absolutely no sense when you needed him on Saturday and Sunday with Riley Maddux and Mason Nichols, two veterans who you refused to move off the weekend, regardless if they're having success or not. Riley Maddux had a great start on Saturday and didn't get any reward for it. But the point is, is if you look at the roster and you look at where things are going, this year by itself is a success. It's back to the postseason. It's where Ole Miss baseball should always be. But the fact that expectations have been lowered to that place where you can celebrate this and go, well, got a year left on the contract, it'll probably be extended out because you don't leave coaches with 1 year left on the contract. And he, you know, he's not going anywhere because they're going back to the postseason. There still remains a real apathy out there from the Ole Miss fan, desperate to see Ole Miss baseball back in the upper echelon, in the every year contention tier that Tennessee has been, even though Tennessee's having their struggles this year. It's cyclical, and not all programs are good all the time. But Ole Miss was a disaster for the last 2 years. And this year, you're hoping it was going to be a grand return to form. It was what we thought it was, or at least in my opinion, a good team, but nothing compared to past teams or a team that is going to host and dominate and really go into Omaha as a true contender. Now, I think this team could get high just like 2022 and you know, win a national championship. Of course they can. They hit a lot like that team did, a lot of true three outcome players as far as walks, home runs, or strikeouts. But the pitching in the starting rotation, not really taking any or changing anything up, being stubborn to philosophy and your own roster construction, all these things have certainly brought back to the forefront what has been so frustrating for the last 3 years with Mike Bianco. It was such a big step for him to hire a pitching coach. But if that was his last big swing, the best they can do is number two in a regional somewhere. That's not going to be enough. It is enough for this year. Next year, you need to be hosting again. And at some point, Oxford and Swayze Field was designed to host super regionals. And the fact that you're getting close to 20 years now, having not hosted a super regional in Oxford, Mississippi, is, of course, any objective person would say this, it is, of course, not okay. So I would say for the Ole Miss fan that's apathetic, I get it. I would say that apathy has been around or setting in since 2014. Winning the national championship was all anybody wanted to see. Now you want to see the program just be what it was when they couldn't make it to the College World Series. We didn't know that that one national championship run was going to cost everything. It's like that old Thanos meme. What did it cost? Everything. Because Ole Miss was never a program under Mike Bianco that had losing seasons. Ole Miss was never a program under Mike Bianco that missed the postseason. Ole Miss was never a program under Mike Bianco who bottomed out and was non-competitive. That just never happened until the last 2 years. So what's new are a couple of things, but these are the things that stick out to me. What's new over the last 3 years and how we analyze this is, one, they did win a national championship. That's the thing we all do this for. But what have been systemic problems with his program, with his roster construction, with this Asian culture of NIL and building rosters this way, being slow to pull the trigger on the portal. There's so many ways in which Mike Bianco has been either regressive or behind the eight ball completely. And while some of that has been corrected this year and they're back where they're supposed to be in the postseason, is that enough? It is for this year, but for next year, even though they're going to extend him out, he's got 1 year left on his contract. Of course they will. They're going back to the postseason. You don't fire him after that. But if this is the new normal, that's not going to be okay for Ole Miss long term. It is for this year. But next year, they have to be back in the hosting discussion. They have to be back in the national championship contender discussion. Not to say they're not going to do that this year. This is, again, a lot like that 2022 team. Had a lot of struggles. But if they could get hot and put it all together, there was no stopping them. And I think the same for this team. I think that this team, if all came together at the same time, if Mason Morris was on the weekend and not coming out of the bullpen in a 6-run lead against Mississippi State, pitching in high leverage situations and not 6-run leads, you could absolutely see this team getting hot like that team did, like Mason Morris becoming the Dylan DeLucia, who wasn't Dylan DeLucia until the postseason. And he started to dominate, became Ole Miss's ace, became the MVP of the College World Series. Hunter Elliott is back and he's pitched well. Now he's not the same, but he's definitely pitched well. And you have that number two stud option in the pitching rotation, not to mention an offense that is top 10 in all of college baseball in homers, slugging. I mean, the big to-do categories in college baseball. So, long way of saying, because Bill, you know, you're about to get baptized into this hard because you're now here. LSU loves their baseball, loves their baseball. Ole Miss, this has been the number two sport for so long. basketball is just now getting, you know, getting some air in that space compared to Ole Miss baseball. So it will always be a year-to-year point of contention unless Ole Miss baseball is where the fan base believes it should be, and they're right, among the very best in the country. If a top 10 football team was going to the Gator Bowl or not getting bowl eligible or going to the Music City Bowl or, God forbid, going back to the Birmingham Bowl, great as an experience as that was, there would be questions asked considering the resources and the money put into that program. So it's more than fair to say this is still not what Ole Miss baseball is supposed to be, while recognizing it is an improvement, and they deserve credit for that, that they're back in the postseason, but hosting and hosting super regionals and being a year-to-year every year. I mean, this isn't enough. It is enough for this year. Still frustrating because you remember what it was and what it's supposed to be. Next year, if this is the new normal, well, this isn't what Ole Miss baseball pays for. Two seeds just traveling everywhere, right? That's not what Ole Miss fans have poured their hard-earned money into, and there are real questions, again, to be asked. But for this year, it's okay to be frustrated with falling short, but also appreciating this group, man, a good group of dudes. Judd Uttermark is a great dude. I mean, across the board, Luke Chang, what he's meant coming from Illinois State, unheralded coming from Illinois State, he's been so good solidifying shortstop. But now he's gone after this year. Owen Pano was a top 100 recruit, and he struggled. He has struggled mightily. Kay Townsend's the midweek starter. I mean, these guys that are the future of your program, well, now you have to contend with keeping them here and keeping them happy. Campbell Smithwick was an everything prospect in Austin Folly. To his credit, the most home runs of any catcher in the Mike Bianco era in a single season. He took over for Campbell Smithwick. But when you need some help in the lineup or some positional versatility, not trying guys like that that have real upside and can help you know the future of this program is a concern as well. So legitimate questions, legitimate frustration. I feel them with you. I'm right there on the board. I see it. The Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com, Field of On Three, join us. I feel your pain. I feel your frustration. I was standing there before the reconstruction or the renovation of Swayze Field when they had the chain link fences. I was standing there by the fence watching Ole Miss in Miami. Jameel Weeks coming into town and the tough, brutal losses in super regionals. It used to be falling short of Omaha. Now it's just getting into the postseason, just skating in, or just barely getting in, but getting in. That, yes, that's an accomplishment for this year when compared to the last 2 years. But next year, a two seed somewhere isn't enough.
Yep.
Not hosting isn't enough. You got to host. This is all that, like, Ole Miss pays for those things. And Ole Miss fans demand their program be treated that way. And it is more than fair. This is a big boy business. And Mike Bianco's taken care of, man. That man's going to have a statue built for him right beside the Tim Elko.
A little status jet deal going on.
I'm just saying, next year, you have at some point, and I think it's next year. I think we've reached it next year. This year, if they had the same results of the last 2 years, it was over. Right? Like, it was over. This is a nice reprieve for a year. It's a nice reset. It's nice that they've gotten back on track, even though we would all agree it's not completely back on track. However, next year, you got to be hosting again. You got to be doing those things. Otherwise, Keith Carter and the administration will have legitimate reason to ask serious questions, and they should. If they weren't, it'd be a dereliction of duty. Real questions about, is this what it is now? Because if this is what it is now, that's not enough.
Great stuff there. All right. Javon Campbell is in the chat, so I do want to address his question right now. He mentioned Darian Ford from Arkansas State choosing Temple over Ole Miss in the SEC. He feels like Chris Beard has one foot out the door and recruits can sense it. He also said he's been following Ole Miss basketball since the Jozine, and I probably butchered that.
Jozon Darby.
Jozon Darby. Jozon Darby,
the sixth man. On that tournament team with Keith and them, Ansu Cisse, I used to play in the backyard. We had this great basketball hoop. Jozon Darby was my dude. So, yes, Jozon Darby. There's nothing Oxford about Beard unlike Lane Kiffin. Well, hold on.
And hold on. Before you go, Darian Ford, and this is from the Temple side of things. We mentioned Ole Miss reaching out to him. Mm-hmm. We didn't mention him as a top target. And then the Temple side that reported that he had committed to them a few days ago mentioned the likes of Florida Atlantic, Tulsa, App State. So not all reach outs mean that you are, going after someone. And I do want to segue all of this, and you can kind of address a little bit of Javon's thoughts too, if you want. But my question to you was going to be, out of the new additions to Ole Miss basketball, and they are two high school prospects, Tyler Jordan, Patton Pinkins, Elias Carmandine from France, Travis Perry from Kentucky, AJ Storr from Kansas, Corey Chess from LSU, Corin Johnson from Louisville, James Scott from Louisville, Augusto Casilla from Butler. Who are you most excited about seeing?
Elias Carmandine from Euro basketball, 22 years old, NBA prospect. He was an NBA prospect last year, actually went into the draft. And I want to touch on Darian Ford here from Javon Campbell, and join us in the YouTube comments. Drop your own. Number one, why can't Chris Beard reel in a medium-sized fish? Say what you want to about missing on PJ Haggerty because Ole Miss doesn't want to pay $3 million for one particular player with its NIL budget. Say what you want to about any of those big fishing expeditions. To say that, like, they haven't gotten those, but to say that Ole Miss hasn't reeled in a medium-sized fish, AJ Storr's coming from Kansas. And before last year, really good at Wisconsin. Really, really good. Would have been the top signee for them last portal offseason. So don't, against the backdrop of what just happened, dismiss what an AJ Storr is, what a Karen Johnson is. Like, he's their primary ball handler. Yes, last year banged up at Louisville, but the year before at Washington was one of their very best players, one of the very best players in his conference. There are legitimate injury and durability questions with this roster because of what had to be put together, considering the numbers and the ask and the price tags for everything this cycle. But all of them are not simply medium-sized fish. Those are bigger than medium-sized fish. They were all pursued by other high major programs. Now, Darian Ford, of course, Ole Miss reached out and we included him amongst the additional targets. But when you see a final group, including Tulsa and Arkansas State, and Ole Miss didn't have an offer, Ole Miss didn't miss on that player. Ole Miss gauged his interest, as it does with everybody. A huge umbrella, a blanket, a net thrown out by contacting as many possible possibilities as there are, including Darian Ford. But he's obviously, like, they checked in, didn't really see much of a fit. They didn't miss him. But AJ Storr is more than a big-sized fish. Elias Carmardine is more than a medium-sized fish. Elias Carmardine is going to come in here, and he's using this 1 year as his NBA showcase. There's real motivation for him to have his very best year. AJ Storr, same thing. 8 programs in 8 years going back to high school for AJ Storr. This is the money year. This is the one. So you get that motivation factor. You get that talent factor as well. Yes, there are durability and injury concerns, but it is completely inaccurate to claim that they have not landed big fish. Corey Chess is another good example. I mean, he fits exactly what they were missing last year, not having a true glass cleaner. They got the James Scott from Louisville, the other transfer big. Yes, he was averaging 7 points, 6 rebounds, whatever it was. But look at the offer sheet for him, who almost beat out for him. So I disagree with that completely, the classification of a medium size. Not, they can't land a medium-sized fish. I think what Ole Miss fans are worried about, or maybe are in their feelings about with this class in particular, is coming off of Sweet 16, you thought that they were going to go and do what Kentucky did, go get Aberdeen from Florida, and then maybe like signing up PJ Haggerty and Desmond Cloyd, and whoever else they wanted was going to be easy because Ole Miss boosted its NIL budget. It was top 5 in NIL in basketball last year. Stands to reason they're going to be top 5, if not better, this year. They're coming off the Sweet 16. They're going to be able to clean up. The market is volatile. It's like any market now. There's no rhyme or reason to it other than, do you got the money? And also, I mean, everybody's out for themselves, and it's harder now than ever to build a roster through the portal. And unfortunately, that's what Beard had to do this year, considering everything that happened. And while it was harder and the numbers were insane, he still put together a roster that's going to contend for the NCAA tournament again. If he adds a lead point guard like a Desmond Claude or someone to that effect, at least one or two more they're going to add regardless, this team is going to be every bit as competitive potentially as last year's team. Now, the questions are, can they stay healthy? But I would take this roster against last year's roster to start the year and say, yeah, let the best team win. They're comparable in that way. Don't get swept up in thinking Ole Miss has now become Duke because it got its second Sweet 16 appearance in program history last year in the NIL, but they're now playing in the same waters or swimming in the same waters as everybody else. They were in a kiddie pool. Now they're in the big people pool, right? But that means that there's going to be an even more clarification about where they have to go and what they have to do and how they need to pull their resources. And I think Ole Miss, after it started very slow, has put together a roster that I think can really compete, and that's a testament to Chris Beard. So I disagree with that completely, a medium-sized fish. They're filled with better than medium-sized fish, including Elias Carmardine, who I think could be an all-league caliber player. So I've been following Ole Miss basketball for just as long. Jozon Darby was my dude in the backyard. I love Jason Smith and Anthony Boone. I loved Rakeem Lockhart. I loved Keith Carter, Mike White. These are my dudes. But to say that this basketball team is not making the tournament, I think, is just simply incorrect, or just dismissing them outright as a non-contender based off of the offseason work, I would say is absolutely incorrect. I would say Elias Carmardine is an improvement over anybody they had at the two last year. Matthew Morrell wasn't healthy at all last year, if you remember. Juju Murray became more of a backup to Sean Padula. Sean Padula wasn't Sean Padula until later on in the year. Right. Javon says, I'm talking about the likes of the kids from South Carolina, Florida, Mississippi State, and so on. Thanks for addressing. Again, I get it, man. And I understand the need and the want and the belief that Ole Miss, they should be stepping up now. Look what all they've done. But I would just say, considering the market, considering the resources, Ole Miss has done a tremendous job, not a tremendous, but has done a great job when they got to build out 13 roster spots. 13. That's insane. And yet Ole Miss went and did it, and I think it's put together an NCAA tournament team. We can argue about whether or not you think they're an NCAA tournament team on paper today. I would say they're a bubble team because they need a dominant playmaking facilitator at point guard. But this team, if it stays healthy, and that's the hard caveat, will it stay healthy? We don't know. But I would just disagree. I don't think that Darian Ford is not getting Darian Ford is going to change my mind one way or another, because I think they moved on from Darian Ford a long time ago. And tomorrow – on Talk with Champions, Chris Beard, Ole Miss head basketball coach, will be on this program. So if you got questions for Chris, I'll ask them. Just shoot them in the chat right now. Shoot them in the to the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, at @3 on Twitter, at @SpiritBen, at @BillyAndBody. And we'll ask Chris tomorrow whatever you want us to ask. But I would just say Chris Beard has more than earned the benefit of the doubt for the last 2 years. And I would also disagree with the characterization that he has one foot out the door, because if he had one foot out the door, he could have gone to Arkansas. He could have gone to Indiana, and he didn't. Lane Kiffin, he's following the exact same track as Lane Kiffin did. Flirted with other schools, could have gone, didn't go. Now he's entering year three. Lane Kiffin's entering year six, and Lane Kiffin has become the Ole Miss guy. Chris Beard is becoming that as well. Listen to him talk. And I just think that getting swept up in a volatile market and using it to paint a broad brush about Chris Beard and the program at large is unfair, and really doesn't look at or doesn't credit enough how good Chris Beard has been in his 3 years here. This is unprecedented, the kind of winning he's had, even with missing the NCAA tournament postseason entirely in year one. I think Chris Beard's got – he's done a good job, a passing job, a solid job, and a lot of lessons were learned about where Ole Miss still has to go if it does want to swim in the waters of, well, we're just going to go clean sweep it. We're going to go get Frederico. We're going to go get name your favorite players in this portal cycle. We'll just go get five of them, and we'll build an all-star lineup. I don't think Ole Miss built an all-star lineup, but I definitely think Ole Miss built an NCAA tournament team, again, with the caveat of you got to stay healthy.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
All right. Before my next question, I do want to remind you guys about our friends at Status Jet as well, statusjet.com. They're going to be flying Ben and I all around eventually one day once we make a big time, and they want to, for now, fly you, the Ole Miss Rebel fan, around and give you a discount on a round-trip flight. By mentioning the Ole Miss Spirit, they'll give you that discount. They'll plan the trip of a lifetime for your friends, your family, whoever you want to take, or go the work write-off route. That's the way I would do it in these days, but they will treat you with an A1 experience, and that's what flying that lifestyle is all about. So we appreciate our friends at Status Jet as well for their support of the Ole Miss Spirit. All right, Ben, I want to get a little nostalgic for you.
Oh, and say one more thing for Javon, though. Okay. One more thing for Javon Campbell here. I get where you're coming from as far as, like, you haven't been blown away. That's the thing. I get that.
Yes, like, I don't think it's on paper, it's not a good – yeah,
it's not going to knock you over. But if they do add a playmaking facilitator, I mean, they're back cooking with bacon grease, you know. So Mick wants to know, oh, Bill, here's one for you. Any football news?
Man, this is the worst time of year. The only good thing going on right now is the NHL playoffs, everyone. That's it.
I'm not watching that, so yeah.
I know. Well, and we're still, you know, a couple weeks away from SEC baseball tournament in Hoover. But football news, it really, there's not much going on, right? I mean, there's nothing on the team, really. The one thing that I do want to get some updates on, and we'll do that for you on the Ole Miss Spirit, is try to figure out a kind of a post-spring now, who's actually injured, who was actually not in spring. We know the main one, Centurion Perkins, recovering from his off-season shoulder surgery that we reported first at the Ole Miss Spirit, that he was going to basically be out the entirety of spring, and he was. And Bryson Sanders ended up returning from his hamstring. I mean, there's a couple others that Traylon Ray was recovering from another injury. Jalen Braxton was out. He's going to be ready to go in fall. But there, it's just kind of that worst time of year. I mean, there's not really anyone even talking right now. So
most of them have gone home. Gone home for a break. I know Bryson Sanders, I was talking to him. They'll all come back, you know, at the start of June or toward the end of May, start of June, for off season workouts and stuff like that. They'll be working out at their own homes and stuff. You speak of guys being injured or not being injured. TJ Dottery, yes, he was banged up, but he didn't play at all in the spring. But he straight up told me, he was like, I was fine. It's a long season. You know what I mean? Like, it was a long season for me. And they treated the spring like that with a lot of different guys. And I've gotten to the point now where I'm not even sure what we can take from spring outside of the wide receivers are really good. But Traylon Ray, they got to get Traylon Ray on the field to see what they got there. But wide receivers, they've got legitimate talent. The offensive line has to get healthy. Like Diego Pounds, he was in a black jersey all during spring, as was Jaden Williams. And that's concerning because, man, the depth behind them doesn't exist. That's something that's obvious. So, as far as football, this is the quietest of quiet times. Yeah. In recruiting, as Bill can attest better than me, in recruiting, I think they've got real momentum, not just in the high school ranks, but just across the board in terms of – because all the coaches have hit the road. While all the players are gone, April 29th, all the coaches hit the road recruiting. And like last Friday, I know that Ole Miss was here in New Albany to see Emmanuel Tucker. I know that they've been going after Tristan Keys. They've got the commitment from Corey Barber. That's where the football action is happening, off the field, in the recruiting space, less so about the team itself, outside of Austin Simmons doing every interview possibly imagine. If you want to read an interview with Austin Simmons, go to the Ole Miss Spirit today. He graduated at 19 and can focus just on football. I'm curious about this, Bill. Somebody asked me this on the Ole Miss Spirit. I had no idea. All right. Is it like the old days? He's graduated. He's 19. Okay. Can he just focus on football, or do they still require them to take 12 hours, right, and pretend to be students when they're here to major in football? I don't know. I don't know if they still require, like, you just have to take one class. Could he take basket weaving and be fine?
I was about to bring up basket weaving. I mean, a tough pick between basket weaving and maybe clay pottery making. Is that right? I mean, I don't know. Mick's question on recruiting. We'll talk about that in just a second. But no, they have to take 12 hours. I think they have to be enrolled. Oh. They have to be a quote-unquote full-time student. Now, I don't know how far colleges have come in terms of – I know they do the online classes. Like some of most of the guys that graduate and then don't do like a serious master's type of program, they're probably in a lot of online classes and they're just kind of going.
Fair enough. So it's still a thing. 12 hours, you still got
12 hours.
That's ridiculous, man.
I mean, if I was graduating and not wanting to do a serious master's program and wanted my mastery to be in football, I would probably try to find a way to, you know, load up on like you said, like a basket weaving, but like a golf elective, you know, where you got to go out.
Austin needs to go. If it were me and I graduated in 19, you couldn't make me go to class again. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, just take football theory, you know?
Yeah.
Football 202, whatever that is. Like, give me all the stuff I already know. Maybe I just want to take introductory classes. Like, oh, I can take creative writing and I can just turn in something once every 3 months. That would be great.
A communications class. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm right there with you. And to get to Mick's question on recruiting, and this is a time of year where we're waiting for that next wave of momentum. Because we've seen some of that, and they are kicking some ass, to use Mick's term in recruiting. You know, just landing Isaiah Williams, the number one linebacker in the country, Demaryius Yates, getting him on board, Corey Barber, getting him on board. Those are the top three commitments in the class, and those are their last three commitments. So they're surging now. They're in the top 15 overall recruiting classes in the country on three, which is a big deal, of course. They want to build on what they did last year, a top 25 recruiting class. And we're getting close to official visits. I mean, less than a month away from a couple weeks away from that that May 30th visit weekend. That'll kick off that run of June 6th, June 13th, June 20th official visit dates. And that's when you're going to see this class really come together. And these coaches are out on the road recruiting. And somebody asked me on the site, and actually I think it might've been a DM that I need to respond to. So I apologize. But someone asked, do I think that they've stepped up their push, like their overall effort at high school recruiting? And I think so. You know, you're seeing these coaches. I mean, John Garrison, we can say what we want about, you know, this is a big year for him and all those things. But my man was living the tough life. He was down in Miami on Monday, spent the entire day with one of his top targets, Ryan Moret. It's Moret from Miami Southridge, where Kevin Smith, the running backs coach, went to high school. We've got a story on him up at the Ole Miss Spirit. And he's driving over on Alligator Alley and hitting Naples. I'm like, this is, if I was a, by the way, and this is maybe a good question for you, and I don't want to answer it for you, but this Ole Miss staff is putting in the miles and they're pushing the pace to get it all done over the course of April into May, seeing as many targets as they can, gearing up for as successful of a June month as they can. And they've already got some commits from the last couple of weeks that are big ones, pushing their momentum forward. So, yeah, I mean, they're doing a great job in recruiting. Landon Duckworth is an Ole Miss lean, it appears, which is great. Top 100 type of quarterback that they need, a blue chip quarterback in this class to go with Reese Wise, who's a really good passer as well, would be huge. They're getting this thing rolling. But Ben, if you were a college recruiter, would you not just let's just say you're in the SEC, would you not just recruit the crap out of Florida and places and maybe like Georgia so you could go over to the coast, or South Carolina to go to Charleston? I mean, why would you not spend time recruiting the best cities and the best like backdrops to be at?
Chris Vaughn, former Ole Miss defensive back coach, I think he's still with the Cowboys now. He had it right, man. The Florida recruiting territory is the best because it's a vacation. When you're not working, you go to the beach, or you go to Disney World, or you go, you know, there's just all kinds of things you could do. So, like, I would be in Florida all the time. I will say that in-state recruiting has been really fascinating to follow, too, because after Derek Nix left for Auburn, got that promotion and title, thrilled for Derek Nix, was here for so long. There was a question because he had been their in-state ace recruiter for so long. How was that going to – what was that going to look like? And we knew Kelvin Bolden was going to be a big part of that, their coordinator of recruiting strategy. We knew he was going to be a big part of that as a legend here in the state. But I would honestly say that at worst, he's picked right up where Derek left off and maybe even improved on it in certain ways. And I think that the Mississippi recruiting piece – that would be tempting to me, man, because I know these back rows like the back of my hand. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let me roll down hot, like County Road 369. You know what I mean? Like I'll just go meet him over there at the Western Sizzlin'. But outside of just knowing Mississippi,
You know all the spots to drop bags, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I could
no one will find it. No one will find it.
I could tell you what gas station to meet in Etta, you know, or like whatever y'all need to do. We can do it. I would stick it forward. Like, I feel bad for you Texas guys. Like, Randall Joyner, God bless him. Yeah. You know, he's from Texas. That's his place. That's where he's got to recruit. But, like, Texas is just big and wide, and it's, like, you never get where you're trying to go in any type of reasonable time. It's always hot. I mean, I don't know how Texas people do it. So, yeah, give me Florida or give me Mississippi. And Ole Miss is cleaning up. I mean, I think specifically with the Mississippi piece, these next two classes in Mississippi, and you can speak to this better than me, these two classes in Mississippi coming up are two of the very best in Mississippi history. And, I mean, I say that knowing that only a couple of years ago, a handful of years ago, Ole Miss had one of its very best classes. Like, this is – we've gotten to the place in the cycle where – Ole Miss could build out its entire high school, or at least the foundation of its high school classes, through Mississippi in the next two classes, and they understand that, and they've really prioritized that. And I think they're doing a great job. Obviously, I think they're cleaning up right now. They got their three highest ranked commitments committed in the last couple of weeks, but how they clean up in state, if they can flip Tristan Keys, if they can secure. I mean, there's so many good wide receivers. Jason Matthews, so many good wide receivers in this state. If they can build a foundation, I think that'll tell us how far they've come, because this, like, they've really prioritized it. They want Mississippi to be theirs. They feel like this is the time, with state vulnerable, with Southern Miss irrelevant, to just own the state, become that funneling system like LSU is to its high school. So not to say it's not a pipe dream that it'll never happen, because I'll believe it when I see it. But I think that's going to tell us a lot about the success one way or another of this class and the next class in particular, how much they actually do clean up in Mississippi if we've seen a change. Because they're climbing. I mean, they're getting the number one linebacker in the country if they can make him stick, because he's committed to like 84 schools. They've got Corey Barber, who they love. Like, they've done great, but can you build out the rest of it with these historically great classes in Mississippi? I think that's going to be the telltale sign for the next couple of years.
Sure is. And again, follow it all in the Ole Miss spirit. It's going to be a fun month of June. I love official visit season. You throw in camps in there as well. So we're going to get to have a lot of fun on the spirit. And I'll be have you here's a question that maybe I don't want too much detail on, but I'm having my first surgery ever next month, getting two hernias repaired. Jeez. I'm going to be sitting around calling these kids after their official visits. I'm just going to be all laid up. And it's outpatient, which is crazy. And I'm not a big talker about this stuff. But have you ever gone through a difficult surgery? Have you ever had anything done?
Not like that. Hernia, that sucks. So prayers to my friend Bill. Try to take it easy. He was over in Paris, and every single friggin' day, he's still like, hey, did you see so-and-so? And like texting, and then he's like putting up stories at weird hours of the night because he's in Paris. I can just see you laying up on the outpatient table, you know, after dealing with hernia surgery, you know, Jace Matthews, how was your official camp visit weekend? Like, chill out. Just, it's fine. You know, like we'll get through it. But yeah, like I've had many a surgery, but the only surgery that really sticks out to me was when in football in high school.
Oh no.
I got my toe stepped on really bad.
I thought it was going to be right to the,
no. Jonathan Celestine, of course you would, because you're a weird person. Jonathan Celestine, defensive tackle for your Corinth. I can't remember. Are the Warriors? I can't remember Corinth is. playing us New Albany Bulldogs. I was the center. He was the three tech, and he was a fringe Division I prospect. And I tried my best, and we forget the rest. I'll just put it down. You try your best. He stepped on my toe in a really bad, funky way, messed it up pretty good, messed up the nail bed or whatever. I had to go over to H.F. Mason, and he has to take this nail bed. Like, he has to saw off the nail and fix the nail bed. He said, "Ben, this is going to hurt." My dad said, "Ben, you know, it's okay to say some things, but let's please keep the cuss words, if you use them, to a minimum. And definitely don't say the F word." Man, the first time he put that knife or whatever it was into my nail bed, bro, what do you think came rolling out of my mouth?
Lord, forgive me.
God, thank you for the clarity. But holy, you know, I was going nuts. I mean, it didn't even last 1 second. So, they tried to put the needle in your toe to deaden it. It didn't dead. I mean, it was my nightmare. I hate needles. I hate all that. And that was the worst one. So hopefully yours will be better than that. Hernia ain't nothing to play with. That sucks.
No, I know, because it's like your abs. You do everything with your abs, even if you don't have any. Like
me. I don't know what an ab is.
Yeah,
I'll never experience abs. But yeah, you get to feeling better, and hopefully, if you do get into some pain, remember, say all the okay cuss words, but the ones that are really bad for God's ears, can't use them. You know what I mean? Like, can't use them, especially if your dad's in the room.
All right, so. Sorry for that tangent. Let's go nostalgia.
That was your fault. That was completely your fault.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Hand
Usually
up.
Usually it's my fault when we go off on stupid tangents.
That was on me. That was my guy.
Listeners, that was totally on Bill this time.
That was my guy. what is your favorite Ole Miss memory growing up in your teenage years?
Oh, God.
So man. Right before you would have gone to Ole Miss, what is your favorite, one of your favorite memories?
My God, you were right. He told me that he surprised me.
This is a surprise mailbag, everyone.
Surprised me with a mailbag, and he wasn't lying. Are you writing my biography here? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, you think about it for a second. Do you want to remind you guys? You got it? Okay. Yeah.
All right. I got them locked in, bro. All right. So in high school, the 2003 Ole Miss LSU game that Ole Miss lost. Yeah, you don't want to talk about a loss, but it was the most epic environment ever. If you're in Vaught Hemingway Stadium that day, they played that Russell Crowe from Gladiator clip with the Tigers, hyped up the whole stadium. And then Travis Johnson picks off Matty Mark as LSU's going in for a touchdown to start the game. And I thought, this is it. Ole Miss has finally arrived. Now they hadn't, but that game is one of my favorite Ole Miss memories of all time, because it felt like Ole Miss had arrived. Now before I went to Ole Miss, oh God, this is different. All right. I love the 1996 Motor City Bowl. In Detroit, dude. Drove through the night, freezing cold, playing Randy Moss and the Marshall Thundering Herd. Not a good start. Randy Moss takes one off the top to start the game, and then Ole Miss dominates. Stuart Patrick, who've been dealing with some stuff, had a great day. I remember those. I remember, of course, the 1997 Egg Bowl, because my dad used to make us leave. He couldn't stand watching Ole Miss lose, so he'd make us leave and come back. Look at Randy. The greatest wide receiver I've ever laid eyes on. Randy Moss. There he is. Gary Thigpen. Is that who that was? Guarding him. Like the first play, Randy took the top off, but they dominated from that point forward. And that was one of my favorite games. Spent Christmas in Detroit. Chad Pennington. See, I say I'm the Chad Pennington of backyard football because I don't have a strong arm, but it's accurate as shit. You know? God forgive me. But you know what I mean? There he was. And that game, because the Motor City Bowl was new, and going to the bowl is the big deal. There's Tommy Tuberville. Now he's a freaking United States Senator. Tommy T, the United States Senator. Anyway, that was one of my absolute favorite games. The 1997 Egg Bowl, my dad used to make us leave games early. So, of course, we were losing, and we leave because my dad hated sitting in the stadium. And we had to listen to David Kellum's call over the radio of the overtime win. Against Mississippi State. So many, but those are the ones that really stick out the most to me. That one right there, the 2-point conversion. Oh my God, we're going to watch it together. Have you seen this?
Oh no.
This is new to you?
I was 4.
Let's go! That's Corey Peterson! Let's go! The big 8-5. The big 8-5. Look, Stuart Patrick celebrate. See, I'm baptizing Billy and Body.
Yeah, I was. Look at that. There we go. Live share right now. We
can like, watch ourselves. I'm baptizing you into Ole Miss moments. Those.
This
are
is why favorite. I like. We might make this a regular segment. Not the whole episode. Ben Skills, being this.
Ben Schools Bill on Ole Miss sports yes. stuff.
And we can just look back Joe on a little history.
Was Javon Campbell. He didn't know. Now he does. Sixth man for the NCAA tournament team back when Keith and them went. Let's not talk about Valpo. That one was another seminal moment in my life.
I won't find that highlight or low light or whatever.
Well, all you got to do is watch the NCAA tournament every single year, and it's always and forever going to be played amongst the one shining moment stuff, you know, mm-hmm. or like the great tournaments of past. It's always Bryce Drew in Valpo beating Ole Miss. Still don't know why Keith was guarding the baseline. He won't tell me either. I don't think he even knows at this point, you know. But those are the moments that really stuck out. And back, that's why Ole Miss fans don't need to lose sight of how special this time is. Kids these days, and that's how I know I'm old, you know, kids these days don't know how good they have it. 3 10-win seasons in the last 4 years. Billy Landis in Riverland, but we were talking about this recently because he was through the Steve Sloan years. He saw all of the stuff that you, the older Ole Miss fan, know about. And it like the idea of Ole Miss winning 10 games was pie in the sky. Eli did it. They finally won 10 games again. But in that same year that they ran through the SEC, lost to LSU in 2003, included in that was what? Losses to Texas Tech and Memphis. Because that's what Ole Miss does. You know, all of those things, baseball, for example, you got a national championship. Yes, the last 3 years have been tough. But I was sitting in the outfield when Stephen Head struck out against Texas when the College World Series was won in Oxford, Mississippi that year. I saw the Evan Button. I was there for Evan Button. I was there for – and I don't blame Evan Button, but that's what it's come synonymous with. Look that up if you want to. Don't. The Evan Button game or in basketball – the close misses for Andy Kennedy making the NCAA tournament every year is like, well, they won 24 games, 27 games. Can they make the NCAA tournament? Because Ole Miss didn't make the NCAA tournament. And now not only have they made it, but they reached the Sweet 16, matching the greatest all-time accomplishment in Ole Miss basketball history. Appreciate what you're living through right now. This is quite literally, compared to past years in stretches, the golden years for Ole Miss sports. You're getting high-level competitiveness across the board. Men's golf, number one in the country this year. I mean, just pick your sport. Ole Miss softball. Ole Miss is competing at every high level. Listen, Javon Campbell, I remember it all watching Ole Miss on Jefferson Pilot Sports. Yes, I remember, what was that LSU game? When Ole Miss beat them, I think, with the last-second field goal. Devery Henderson was their wide receiver. It was Devery against Kentucky. When the Kentucky Hail Mary or whatever it was, or LSU's Hail Mary.
Bluegrass Miracle.
The three Daves on Jefferson Pilot. Dave Neal, Dave something, and Dave. Like, there were three Daves. I'll miss JP. That was the best. We didn't know how good we had it, is all I'm saying.
I grew up on Raycom in Florida, so I don't even know what that is anymore.
Jefferson Pilot was our Raycom. Jefferson Pilot played the 11 a.m. game in Mississippi.
Yes. Yeah. You know? There was a 10 – there was yeah. a – 10 a.m. game, I swear, I maybe I'm wrong. Every now and again, there'd be a 10 a.m. Eastern time game in the SEC.
Yeah.
It was wild. It'd be like Florida and Vandy or Florida and the Citadel and places like that.
The narrator of many of my Saturdays growing up was Dave Neal. So seeing Dave Neal in like the press box of the Egg Bowl for the first time was amazing. It tripped me. Tim Brando for Javon Campbell. Tim Brando was on there. Like the Daves, Tim Brando did Jefferson Pilot. JP was the best. And we didn't realize how good we had it, you know, because even now with all the games on TV and access to everything, the shared community of those days was special. Because when the payback game happened in 1998, when Ole Miss goes and beats Tubbs on the plains and Corey Peterson has the catch, you know, we couldn't see that on TV. That wasn't a televised game. So we're listening to that downtown New Albany during like some event, some like I want to say it was like a Tallahatchie River Fest or something. And when he catches that ball, we go running down the street, right? telling everybody, breaking the news that your Ole Miss Rebels have gotten their payback on Tommy Tuberville, it felt so much bigger. And as everything is now accessible to everyone all the time, these shared moments aren't as big. They don't feel as huge. They don't feel as monumental. We just gloss over three 10-win seasons in 4 years, making the Sweet 16, getting back to the postseason of baseball. If you remember, Ole Miss used to play baseball over there where the pavilion is, like in that area right there to the right of Vaught Hemingway Stadium, and essentially a pasture, right, which is apparently what you still play in Starkville, unless it's Duty Noble. We did that in soccer, man. Like, only in Starkville would they send you down there and make you travel all that way to play in a muddy cow pasture. But that's what it used to be for Ole Miss baseball. So don't take for granted in the down times, like right now, in the good times, in the bad times. Remember, there was a time when Ole Miss sports was not at this competitive place. I lived through it. My dad lived through it. My dad lived just hoping that Peyton Manning would show up, and he didn't, right? Eli Cummin was still to this day, my dad loves Peyton more than Eli. I think a lot of old Ole Miss fans are like that. It's weird because Peyton was the one that was promised, the prince that was promised. Eli's the one that you got, and Eli was better. I'm just going to put it that way. Eli was better in college, and I will die on that hill. He should have won the Heisman. Danny, what was his name? Danny, can't remember. I always say Danny White because he was a Cowboys quarterback. Danny something or other won it that year over Larry Fitzgerald and Eli Manning. Insanity. And now you got Butkus finalists like Chris Poupaugh. You got Biletnikoff finalists. I mean, I remember when Patrick Willis
Jason,
won.
Jason White. Not
Jason
Danny.
White.
But you're thinking Danny White, which is fine.
Okay, but I had one of the two right, White, yes. Jason White.
Yep, Jason White. Disaster.
Now, if Jackson Dart would have won a Heisman last year, it wouldn't have surprised any of you, but would you have celebrated like you would have celebrated had Eli won like he should have against Jason White or Larry Fitzgerald? Remembering the attachment, remembering what got us to this point, remembering the shared community of this, let's not lose that. Last one, where's my guy Romero Miller? Romero is selling insurance, or I think he was, last time I heard. He's doing good. Romero, like, you can just check on Twitter with him, and Romero's everywhere talking about Ole Miss all the time. My man from Shannon, Mississippi, right up the road, him and Duke coming together. Like,
he just got a new follower on Twitter. It's me.
There you go, Romero Miller, former Ole Miss quarterback that preceded Eli. Also, one of my favorite memories, even still in a loss, was when Eli replaced Romero in the Music City Bowl when Ole Miss was getting the crap beat out of it by West Virginia. And Eli almost brought them all the way back. He went, holy crap, it's happening. So don't, please, Ole Miss fan, even in the down times like now when we're just jumping on, we always going to be here with you, telling you what we know. We've dropped some recruiting knowledge. We've dropped some football, some basketball. We've told you some things we know, but it's not the busy time. Always appreciate where Ole Miss is now because I remember where it was, and I'm sure you do too. And even in the down times, there's time to celebrate. I think that's pretty cool. And we want you with us every day, all day at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Food of On 3. And our thanks to our men and women at Riverland Roofing, RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. Mick says, thanks for the program, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. We want everybody in there with us. And I'm going to be at Riverland later today building out a studio, hopefully that I will have ready for Chris Beard on Wednesday. We'll see. I don't know yet, but that's the plan. So stay locked in with us at the Ole Miss Spirit. And yes, when you said that you were surprising me with a mailbag, I did not know I'd be talking for 50 minutes. I really didn't. I thought it would be the Bill show.
And I got to plan this better where, like, you know, I've gone out the night before or done something, and I just need you to
didn't expect this. Like, I thought I was going to be sitting and just, you know, Ben, what do you think about this? Blah, 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 and moving on. But no, it became the, hey, Ben, what's your favorite Ole Miss memory? And I hadn't thought about that since I was a kid.
And good stuff, man.
And now I'm thinking about
an episode.
Here's my favorite. Here's my favorite.
Okay.
Deuce McAllister in the Independence Bowl, housing the kickoff on an onside kick. I love that. Thought that was the dopest. Or Jonathan Nichols hitting a 54-yarder on Jefferson Pilot to beat Vanderbilt, because that's how it used to be, man. That's how it used to be, a 54-yarder with cut to beat Vanderbilt. There's a couple more for you, Billy, for you to go research for the next time you have to do a mailbag, and you won't feel like such an Ole Miss noob.
Yeah. I'm getting educated, and we hope you guys enjoyed a little bit of education and a whole lot of fun on this. I had a blast. Appreciate Riverland Roofing for all they do for us. For Ben Garrett, I'm Billy. I'm Body. I'll talk a little bit more next time for you guys, and we'll catch you next time.
Because they get tired of listening to my ass. Come on, hey, now.
I'm not talking on the next episode. The man, Chris Beard, will be here with
Chris
us.
Beard.
Live, hopefully. So we'll drop that for you guys on Wednesday. So stay tuned to Talk of Champions for more. Hit that follow, like, subscribe to us at Talk of Champions and the Ole Miss Spirit, OhmSpirit.com. For Ben Garrett, I'm Billy Embody. We'll catch you guys next time.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.